Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for inviting us back to Girton again. We were here in late March last year, not last week, but just over 1 year ago. Many things have happened since then in the world and in the world of 4-H, and we're going to try and bring you up to speed on just a few of them. Many things we could talk about. We have to be selective, so hold on to your seats, tighten your safety belts, and away we go. And the slides, please. You know where GBC is?
Yes.
You do. Good. Right. Now, hoping this works.
Okay.
I have to be firm with it. Remind me of that later. I have to be firm with you. Just to remind you or to inform you, in case you haven't heard us speak before, Rosemary and I, 20 years ago, began a little Christian charity, a mission called Helping His Hungarian Heroes. And I guess we therefore have a special link with your fellowship through your pastor's wife and pastor and some of his family, because there are strong Hungarian connections there. And we're very happy about them. Some of you may have forgotten, or perhaps don't know, where the Hungarian-speaking people live when they are at home. And the answer is in this part of Eastern and Central Europe. This is the head of the Adriatic Sea, so if we extended our map, Italy would lie down here. Okay, so you know more or less now where we are talking about. 100 years ago, Hungary occupied the whole of this basin, the Middle Danube Basin, or as some people call it, the Carpathian Basin. But over the years since then, Hungary itself has shrunk down to occupy a smaller area here, but has left behind lots of Hungarian-speaking people in Slovakia, in Western Romania, in northern Serbia, parts of Croatia and Slovenia. And so our mission really has to reach across most of that area even today. Oh, and I shouldn't forget to add that there is a little chip of historical or greater Hungary which lies up here just to the west of the Carpathian Mountains and has for some years now been part of Ukraine. And it's sad, isn't it, that there is so much strife in Ukraine and people there have been suffering so terribly, especially over the last year. We'll say more about that a little later on. I'm trying to go back. Yes, yeah, there we go. Some of you may say, well, most of those countries which cover historical Hungary are now part of the European Union. And we understand that conditions, living conditions, are pretty uniform across the whole of the EU. Well, if you think that, I'm afraid you're wrong, because there are considerable differences. And if we try just to summarize those differences between the UK and the Hungarian world in one or two statistics, perhaps the best ones to choose involve what's called median personal income. What does it mean? It means that in the countries in question, half the people in the country earn more than that median value and half earn less. So it's just one measure of, if you like, economic comparability. So far as the UK is concerned, we are told by these official statistics that the median personal income in the UK is 12,278, or at least it was 18 months ago. And in Hungary, it's only 6,300 and 37. And if you look at historical Hungary, which includes these other areas as well, it is only 5,921. Do you ever feel hard up? When you go to Tesco's nowadays, for example, and think what it was like only a year ago, etc., etc. If you feel economic pressures in your life or in your household, spare a thought for Hungarians who have a median personal income less than half of ours, less than half of yours. In the New Testament, on one occasion, Paul says that one of the purposes of Christian mission, and here I quote, is to reduce inequality. To reduce inequality. Of course, that carries lots of other implications too. Inequality may be inequality in respect of hearing the gospel or receiving the gospel. It may mean inequality in economic terms. But in many of those areas, we in this country are comparatively rich in relation to the Hungarians living at home in Eastern Europe. So part of our purpose as a Christian mission in 4-H, helping his Hungarian heroes, is to try to reduce the inequalities, some of the inequalities that there are between them and us, and to do so especially through churches and through communities of believers. Peace in our hearts. Have you felt recently that it's difficult to be peaceful in the middle of a very tumultuous world? It's awful, isn't it? The kinds of things that destroy our peace on a day-to-day basis. We're going to think about some things which have disturbed our peace within 4-H in recent times, new challenges that we have had to confront as a mission because of difficulties, new difficulties in the modern world. Rosemary, incidentally, isn't just standing there to look decorative. She is going to input quite a lot, and she's going to top and tail the talk at the very end as well. Things that have disturbed our peace in recent times. Well, the first of the four that we're going to talk about quickly is Brexit. Well, we needn't debate it, but it's happened, and it has caused problems for us as we seek to help Hungarians that did not exist before. We used to collect aid, clothing, shoes, musical instruments, shall we say, guitars and brass instruments for Hungarian church bands, and piano accordions, and even digi-pianos like this one here. We used to be able to collect them in Clevedon near Bristol and pack them up and then send them off by road until we collected them at the other end at a depot just to the south of Budapest, the capital of Hungary. And people were really glad to receive anything at all that we were able to take and to give. Nowadays, we're not able to send things like that, partly because the paperwork is much too intense. Won't go into details, but believe me, it's defeated us. And, not many things are things we allow to defeat us. But also, it now costs much more to send things like that into the Hungarian world. And basically, in terms of time and cost, it's scarcely worth the effort. However, we have made some chinks through the new EU curtain.
With the help of another charity, we have been able to send out in recent months these three mobility scooters, which has been absolutely tremendous for us. It was much more expensive than we've been able to do it in the past, And they're sent to one particular place in Romania, where we have no control over the destination at all. And then from there, we have to arrange to collect them or have them collected and take them to the places that they need to be in.
So let's just say that there are care homes, Hungarian care homes in Hungary itself and in Romania, whose only mobility scooters or electric wheelchairs are ones that 4-H has been able to send. They don't have any others. So please pray with us that we will be able to get more across into the European Union in the months and years to come, although it is more costly than before and it is a rather difficult process. Musical instruments. This is a friend of ours.
Yes, this is. Can't speak. This is István, and he is a very talented pastor, musician, Bible teacher, and goodness knows what else. And we were able to take in our baggage on the plane a clarinet, because they, as you all probably know, but I didn't, they take to pieces and go into a nice little box. And he was absolutely thrilled to receive that.
Ah, he's amazing. He has built the organ for his 1,000-seater church. Done it virtually single-handed. And it is a magnificent instrument. We couldn't send organ pipes anymore because of the problems following Brexit. But little instruments, we can tuck them away in our personal baggage and we can give them away at the end of the day. It's also true, although perhaps rather curious, that although it is much more difficult and costly now to send goods into Eastern Europe, into other parts of the European Union, it is still possible to send gifts of money in just the same way that we did before. And no problems, no let, no hindrance, and no extra cost. And so we have been trying to up, if you like, the gifts that we've been able to make of money to assist with projects, for example, like this one in Oradea, in southwestern Romania. The Hungarians call it Nagyvárad, and indeed it is one of the most Hungarian cities in the whole of Romania. And one of the projects that we have been helping with since Brexit 3 years ago has been a total upgrade of the library for the Hungarian Baptist Seminary in that city. So 3 years ago, we began by removing all of the existing book racks, etc., and preparing a new and better space for them, and also re-roofing the building which houses the library because it was leaking and there was rising damp and all sorts of problems. And damp and books do not really go very well together. Then, the second year.
Well, 15 or so years ago, we were able to take out some computers to them, second-hand computers, and we were amazed to find when we went 2 years ago that they were still using the only one that was still left working, and they had had no other resources given them or were able to purchase them since then. So we've been able to send out money for them to buy a new computer and a printer, which they share, the students share there, and a desk and furniture, as well as all the books as well.
Well, in fact, more than one computer, there are even two just in that picture, aren't there? That was last year's stage in this project, and this year's stage involves books and also electronic resources. It's good to have friends, isn't it? And it's good to have friends who are helpful friends. And I have a very helpful friend pictured with me here at another friend's golden wedding anniversary celebration in Cambridge about 5 years ago. The name of that friend there is the Reverend Dr. Derek Tidball. Some of you might have heard of him. I knew him when I was at university, and that was quite a long time ago. So it was good to meet him again at the special celebration, and also to learn of his wish to help people like us, to help Hungarians. Derek Tidball became the principal of the Old London Bible College, more recently called the London School of Theology. He has now retired from that position, but is a visiting scholar at the Baptist Spurgeon's College. And he's written lots of books. He's also edited books. For example, some in a series called The Bible Speaks Today. There are different titles in that series. Some are edited by Alec Motier, some by John Stott, and others by Derek Tidball himself, 22 titles in all. But if you add up all three sets of books in those different series, it makes 77 books. And Derek very kindly enabled us to acquire copies of those at virtually no cost, and then to send them for the seminary there in Romania. Good to have friends, so good too, and they help. And this year we're not only going to send more books, but also we will be helping them with their online resources so that the students have a much better resource as they learn to serve the Lord than they had before. Right, thing that disturbed our piece number two.
Well, COVID-19 certainly stopped us from travelling to Hungary in anything like the number of times that we normally would do. And, of course, we were very grateful for all the electronic communications that we now have, which enabled us to keep in touch with everybody and all our projects.
It was quite interesting when COVID began. We were in Hungary at the time. Mm. We managed to escape 4 days before they closed the borders. And we were quite relieved about that because all of our resources, of course, are at home in Clevedon. And following that, it was not possible to go back for over a year. But during that time, it was possible to answer questions arising from the believers in Hungary and to address things like, can any good come of COVID-19? And that is a topic on which I was asked to write to include in an electronic magazine run by the Hungarian Baptists from Budapest. And if you want to know what the answer is in short, it is there are, yes, many yes answers to this question. Good did come out of COVID-19. Another question that they asked me was also interesting, and that was, is or was COVID-19 judgment from God? Well, we haven't time to debate that this morning, but these are fascinating questions that we were able to help answer by electronic means. There was good, too, coming from COVID. This is a little Roma church, Hungarian Gypsy Church in Western Romania, that we helped build some years ago. When we first saw it, it was a little rat-infested hut. But we were able to replace that with a much better purpose-built building. And in the years since and through the COVID period, God blessed, added to his church. And there were baptisms, even during the COVID era. Can you imagine being baptized wearing a mask? Well, that was the lot of quite a number in that church at that time. And the church has really prospered so much spiritually that we have recently been asked if we can help fund an extension to the church too. And that's wonderful. We could tell you other similar stories of blessing that came to Hungarian churches, even despite the COVID pandemic. On the other hand, there were some sad stories.
Yes, this is a Hungarian family in Serbia. Zoltan at the back there is the pastor, Victoria, his wife, one of the daughters there, and granddad as well. And they were they're always pleased to see us, but on this particular occasion, they really did make a big fuss of us, and we couldn't quite understand why, until Zoltan said, "We have had no visitors from outside for 2.5 years. And they'd felt really cut off and abandoned from the rest of the Christian world, really.
So the ministry of encouragement that God has entrusted to us is a very precious one. We enjoy it, and others, they appreciate it when we bring them greetings and also gifts from afar. Okay, we could say more about that disturbance source, but what about the third one, war in Ukraine? This is almost an echo of last year in March, isn't it? Because when we came in March last year, it was only 1 month into the Russian invasion. Lots of things were happening. We had just been in Hungary and Romania ourselves, so we had first-hand information as to what was going on. But let's just update you a little with some of the things that happened there. Yes, there we go. Rosemary. Right.
So this picture some of you will remember if you get our newsletters. A very sad day when we had about 8 phone calls on a mobile phone from Lona, the pastor's wife in Ukraine that we helped to support with her husband, Donny. And they had decided the night before that they had to get the children to safety. They packed rapidly. They went on foot to the border and queued. And as they were going through the various stages, they were phoning us to let us know where they were and how they were. And this big photograph there was taken when they got onto Hungarian soil for the first time. And we had a very short message to say, "We are safe." And she then had to leaving her husband behind, she had to take the children to 2 separate countries for them to be looked after. 2 little girls in Hungary. They were told that they were going to Granny's for a holiday.
That's why they're smiling.
And Bence, who had to go to the other grandparents in Romania.
But he knew what was happening, which is why he's not smiling. Okay, so last March we were faced with the question, how could we as a mission best respond to the war in Ukraine? How could we best bring help, love, joy and peace into the lives of refugees from that awful war situation? There were many aid agencies which were providing support for Ukrainian refugees, but they were not giving the loving welcome and the understanding support that Christian churches, Christian believers could. And so we very quickly arranged to provide special support to 5 different places, 2 in Western Romania, 2 in Hungary, and 1 in Subcarpathian Russia, Subcarpathian Ukraine itself, so that they would have the resources, the financial resources that they needed to provide the kind of welcome and support that refugees required.
One pastor told us that he had to tell his congregation to stop giving to the refugees because they were giving so much of their own food away that they didn't have enough for their own families.
Maybe just at this point I can say a word or two about our little literature table at the back, because on it there are some back numbers of our prayer letter, and the one that we sent in May or June last year includes lots of information relating to each of those 5 centres, the kind of support that they were able to provide refugees and some of the blessings that came about as a result of them. And there are also more recent copies of our newsletter, and there are also some books on the table too. Everything today is free. We're not selling books anymore because most people don't have cash in their pockets. So we're very glad to make them available free of charge, including, and you may feel this is strange at first, we have a few copies of this year's appointments calendar from 4-H. And you may say, well, isn't that 6 months too late? And the answer to that, of course, is yes, but we're not quite halfway through the year yet. And if an appointments calendar would be helpful to you, please do take one of those. And it does talk also about different groups of Hungarians whom we seek to assist. So everything on the table there, it's free. We'd rather not carry it back because we're going to be tired. And if the bags were lighter, that would be really good. Blessing again has come out of more related situations, and Rosemary will just tell you one or two of those.
We've always tried in 4H not to take our ideas to the Hungarian-speaking region, but to listen to them and find out what they needed in order to serve God. And one of the things that we were asked to do this time was to help a church in Ukraine from whom many people had fled into Hungary, and to provide the finances for them to get together for 5 days for a retreat and to be reunited and to worship God together and encourage one another, which we were delighted to do with the help of a church in Hungary. They had a baby dedication, they had a wedding, they had teaching, they rejoiced to be together. But for us, the most poignant thing was that Bence, the young lad that you saw in the photograph at the border, was baptized at that retreat by his dad.
Yeah. Would it have happened if the war had not had happened?
Mm.
We just don't know. But we do praise God that it happened when it did. Bence's parents, in addition to pastoring a couple of other churches, have been planting a new one in the southwest Ukrainian town of Beryksars. And here are some pictures of the conversion work from these old buildings here that we helped them buy to provide new play facilities and also new worship facilities for this growing church plant. Just recently, because of the war, they've been asked to do something else as well, and that is to provide aid, help, support to some of the 500,000 Ukrainians who've come over the mountains from the major part of Ukraine to seek refuge in that little chip that used to be part of Hungary. Now, many of these people have come because they don't want to be involved in the war, they don't want to fight. Many of them are in hiding, they can't get work, they can't support themselves. They're looking to people like the churches, like this new church plant, to help them get through however long it takes until the war ends. And so they're currently building a new aid distribution centre, so that they'll be able to house the things that they are being given by others to share with those refugees. And we do ask you to pray that this project will be completed very quickly and that it will be a great blessing to those many refugees, many of them, as I say, in hiding in southwest Ukraine.
We've also been able to help many Hungarian churches in Ukraine and elsewhere with winter camps where young people can get together, hear the gospel, and enjoy themselves. And this particular one was called a cold camp in Ukraine. It's usually under snow. We've actually been there ourselves at that time.
But this was a bit later than usual.
Yes, it was a bit later than usual, and there was no snow at all. But as you can see, there are over 80 young people there, and this was the message that we received by email afterwards. Your gift enabled 82 participants at the cold camp. Anna's going to laugh at me saying this. I apologize for my pronunciation. Dieter Gersh Youth Weekend was fantastic. God blessed so much, and many of the young people repented. God's spirit bowled around, and it was good to be part of it. Can you imagine God's spirit bowling around the building this morning and how joyful that would be? It'd be great, wouldn't it? And another interesting thing was that she sent another message to say that some of the young people were actually too shy to stand up and declare their step of faith at that camp. But the following week, they all came to the church as a little group and stood up and did it then.
So blessing is also coming from difficulties like the Ukraine war, and just one other glimpse of such blessing here.
A lot of people have been displaced because of the war. People, when we were there, which was only about a week after the invasion, people were going in all directions away from Ukraine. And this young lady, Renata, ended up in a village where we have our base, our bookstore and so on. And at there, the leader of that charity had a very bad accident and was unable to walk for nearly a year, wasn't it, Eric? He had to have surgery many times. And he was very frustrated because he could not get to do the jobs that needed to be done. And as you can imagine, with the results of COVID as well, people were not available to help him. And Renata has been his admin assistant for nearly a year now and has been a huge, huge help to him and enabled that charity to continue the projects that they were involved in. Mm.
So thank you very much indeed for your support as a church for the refugee-related ministries of 4-H. We really appreciated that. They've been a great blessing to many, and the work isn't finished yet. But we are nearly finished. Nick, the final of these things that disturb our peace in recent times that we have time just to talk about are rising prices. Well, we all are affected by them, but people in Eastern Europe, because their income is generally less than ours, are affected even more than us.
Yes, this church in Hoydu-Hodhaz is a lovely Roma church. We had a service with them. It lasted over 3 hours. It was absolutely fantastic. They were promised by a builder who was a member of the church that he would build a church for them, and the local mayor gave them a plot of land. It's a superb plot of land on a corner. But with COVID, sadly, this poor builder man died, and the family decided that his money could be used better elsewhere. So this really lovely church, who had been thanking and praising God for providing them with the church, and they were expecting it to start building any moment, suddenly had all that taken away from them, which was quite a blow to them. And they asked us for help. So we got involved. But the problem that we have now is that the building cost for a building on that plot is now at least 3 times higher than it was when the builder promised to do it.
So we've been actively seeking the best way, and for us the affordable way, of providing a starter church for that congregation. Building by traditional methods has become too expensive, and so we've been looking at the possibility of using containers. This is a container church that we helped fund in northwest Romania 3 or 4 years ago, which is built really of 5 different containers, shipping containers, but specially fitted out. And they really provide instant and very acceptable church spaces. Another possibility is that we will be able to build something, they call them light steel structures. Maybe to you they look like sheds, and perhaps they do, but very quickly they can be transformed into spaces that look much more like churches. So please pray for us. We're right in the middle at the moment of this business of trying to obtain estimates and then to decide which, if any of them, we can afford. So rising prices have affected whole fellowships. They've also affected individuals. We do support quite a number of camps and conferences of different kinds, and one of them is for ladies. Ladies alone, for widows and singles. But of course, as the cost of living has risen, so their ability, the ability of the ladies to fund their own participation in the camps, has become much more difficult. So we've tried to increase our support for them, and this is one such conference in Western Romania last year, and guess who one of the main speakers was?
I think she's quite even cheap.
even wearing the same top as now.
No, isn't it?
It looks, well, it's the same colour, isn't it? And what was the theme of the conference? There it is at the bottom. Peace in our hearts. Thank you for your attention this morning to what we've had to say about these little glimpses of our work in Eastern Europe. And now go on listening as, for four or five final slides, Rosemary talks a little bit about that subject of peace.
Well, peace is a huge subject, but all of us, I think, have suffered anxieties and worries. I haven't spoken to anybody yet that hasn't. And so it was good to have time to think about peace. And one of the things that came out of the conference is that peace comes from having a really close relationship with God and focusing on Him rather than the problems. And when I have to do anything like this, I always turn first to Jesus and look, what did Jesus do? And I don't know whether you're the same, but in the back of my mind, because I know it's not true, I've always kind of imagined that Jesus had a special power, a bit like a magician, that it wasn't the same effort for him to do things. That you know, he could heal, he could cast out demons, he could do all sorts of miracles. So he must have been almost superhuman. But I think the Bible shows us that actually that's not true, and that Jesus spent lots of time in prayer. You think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, nobody else could have prayed with the intensity that he did, so as he sweated drops of blood. And when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon, Jesus said, this one comes out only by prayer, the power comes by prayer. And so I started looking at Jesus and prayer in the New Testament. And you'll see there that verse from Luke. This is when he was talking to Simon Peter just before going to the cross. And he said, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Now, isn't it interesting that even Jesus could not stop Simon Peter from betraying him? From denying him. Jesus really loved Simon Peter, and Simon Peter loved him. And in his prayer, I'm sure that Jesus prayed intensely that Simon Peter would not do that. But God will not force himself on anybody, and he won't force us to do things. He stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't kick the door in. Julian of Norwich described it as God's exquisite courtesy, his gentleness with us. And so Jesus prayed because he knew that he wouldn't be able to stop Peter doing it. He prayed for afterwards to that he would be restored, that he would go on, his faith would grow. And I think when we're worried about our families and our friends whom we're praying for, that they're not saved or they're even going off the rails, we look at this and see what Jesus did. And we can have peace, putting them into God's hands and believing for them. And then we look at Paul. Paul's one of my heroes. I don't know about you. Paul is an outstanding man. And I just had to write down, he had the 39 lashes 5 times and once could have killed most men. He endured 3 beatings with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He spent 24 hours in the open sea, and there weren't any lifebelts then. He went without sleep. He went without food. He went without clothes, and he was imprisoned. And still he carried on. And in addition to all that, it's estimated that he walked 10,000 miles to do that over terribly rough territory, up mountains and goodness knows where else, in all weathers. And he planted at least 14 churches. Now, you'd think he would be another superman, wouldn't you? Because he certainly is in human terms. He'd have been in the Guinness Book of Records. But what does he say? He talks in that reading that we had from Sandra, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself, but you help us by your prayers. And Eric and I are so grateful to all of you and all the others who pray for us, because we know that people sometimes say to us, how on earth did you manage to do all that? Well, it's by God's grace in answer to your prayers. And all of us, no matter how uneducated we are, or how clever we are, how fit we are, or whether we're lying in a hospital bed. All of you, can you go back one, please?
Yes, sorry.
All of us can pray and work for God throughout the world. Paul says, I urge you to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. And if you think you can't do anything, you can. Pray for the missionaries you support. Pray for your pastor. Pray for his church leaders. We will make a difference by prayer. The power of God comes through prayer. So, next one, please.
Which is the last one?
The last one. This is a blessing which we would like to give to you. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, sorry.
Turn it off first.
No, don't turn it off.
Yes, it's making nasty noises.